A werewolf shifter romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. The scent. That was the first thing that was wrong. Not the familiar smell of wood smoke, not the damp earth of our pack. No. This was sharp, sterile. Like lightning just before it strikes, a bitter tang of crushed unknown herbs. It clung to the furs in my mother's chambers. A ghost in the air. It made the hairs on my arms stand up. 13. On the cusp of my first shift, I was supposed to be brave. An alpha's son doesn't cry. But my mother, the Luna, she was fading. Her vibrant warmth, once the son of our pack, was gone. Leaving behind a frail, hollow-eyed woman who barely recognized me. The pack healers, with their grim faces and useless poultices, whispered of a blight, a wasting sickness with no cure. But I knew. It was the scent. It had seeped into our lives the same time she had begun to wither. It's from the Outclane, my father's beta Kane had told me, his voice a smooth, sympathetic poison. He'd knelt beside me days ago, his hand on my shoulder. The herbalist family near the gorge, their bloodline is different. Tainted, some say. Now, I stood outside her door. My heart pounded, a frantic drum against my ribs. My father, the Alpha, was inside. His low, grief-stricken growls shook the very foundations of my world. I wasn't allowed in. He didn't want me to see. But I had to. I pushed the heavy oak door open, just a crack. The strange, sharp scent washed over me. Thicker in here. Suffocating. My father was hunched over the bed, his broad back shaking. My mother lay still. So terribly. Still. Her chest wasn't moving. A sound tore from my father's throat. A howl of pure agony that was not wolf, not man, but something broken in between. The sound of the world ending. My world. My gaze darted around the room. Desperate. Searching for a reason. For something to blame. On a small table beside the bed sat a clay cup, a healing tincture meant to soothe her, and beside it, a small woven pouch of herbs. The source. The sterile, biting scent pulsed from it like a venomous heartbeat. It was a gift, brought to her that morning by the herbalist's daughter, a quiet, dark-haired girl my age with unnervingly bright eyes. The girl, her family, their scent. My father's howl subsided into ragged sobs, and he hadn't noticed me. His world had narrowed to that bed, to the woman he had lost. But my world? It widened. The grief in my chest was a vast, splitting thing, but something else crystallized within it. Hard, cold, sharp as obsidian. Hate. It was a clean hate, a pure thing, an anchor in a storm of sorrow. I looked from my mother's still face to the pouch of herbs, and I made a vow, not with words, but with the hardening of my soul. They would not be a weakness in this pack. Their taint would not poison us again. I would grow strong. I would become Alpha, and I would spend my life scouring every trace of them, of her, of that scent, from this earth. I would be merciless. I had to be. I closed the door, shutting out the scent of death and the sound of my father's broken heart, and stepped into the long, cold shadow of my future. I learned the key to survival a long, long time ago. Become a ghost. Blend into the shadows, silent, unseen. Tonight was no different. From my hiding spot behind a massive, gnarled oak, I watched the Blood Moon pack settle around the great fire pit. The air was thick with roasting meat and nervous excitement, but it did nothing to soothe the frantic bird beating against my ribs, because he was here, Alpha Zane. And then, it happened. A young wolf, barely 18, had failed in his patrol duty. A single broken fence post, a minor mistake. But in our pack, there are no minor mistakes, not anymore. Alpha Zane moved from the firelight, and the cheerful chatter just died. He was a mountain of dark fury, all coiled muscle and cold, hard lines beneath his black leather jacket. His face? Handsome in a way that was utterly terrifying. Carved from stone. No warmth, no mercy. just a chilling emptiness in his golden eyes that promised nothing but pain. The boy Leo was trembling, his head bowed low. Alpha, I... Silence. Zane's voice wasn't loud. It didn't have to be. It cut through the night like a shard of ice. Every wolf, even the strongest warriors, flinched. Without another word, he moved. His steps were deliberate, unhurried, each one a drumbeat marking the end of the boy's peace. The tension broke when Zane's hand shot out, grabbing the front of Leo's tunic. He didn't throw him, no, that would be too quick, too merciful. Instead, he dragged him. Toward the center of the clearing, the boy's boots scraped against the dirt, a desperate scratching sound. The air thickened. It became charged with a power that made my teeth ache. With every heartbeat, my own shameful scent, that sharp, sterile smell of ozone and herbs that branded me an outcast, felt like a beacon, screaming, "I'm here! I'm different!" into the suffocating silence. In that moment, he delivered the punishment. Swift. Brutal. A lesson not just for the boy, but for everyone. A low gasp went through the crowd, a wave of shared shock and terror. Zane released Leo, letting him fall to the ground in a crumpled heap, and then he turned his head, just slightly. As if pulled by a string, his golden eyes swept the crowd, and for a terrifying second, they seemed to snag on my hiding spot. My breath caught, my world tilted. Before he looked away, a pack elder near me, a woman with a face like a roadmap of sorrows, whispered to her companion, her voice a dry rustle of leaves. He wasn't always this cold, not before his mother. Her words hung in the air, an unanswered question, a ghost of a story I was never meant to hear. More importantly, it was a reminder that his cruelty had a source, and I was somehow tangled in its roots. Soon after, I fled to the only place that ever felt like mine, the deep woods. Here, the scent of damp earth and moss-covered bark soothed the ragged edges of my soul. This was my sanctuary, my inheritance from the grandmother I barely remembered. She had been a great healer, they said, before everything went wrong. Her knowledge lived in my bones, a silent hum that guided my hands as I searched for silver leaf and moon petal. Because of that, I had a purpose, however small. Maybe it was fate that led me to the ridge overlooking the main lodge that afternoon. I was hidden in a thicket of ferns, my fingers stained with dirt, when I saw him. Alpha Zane. He was alone, on the high balcony of his private chambers. A place no one dared approach. The setting sun bled across the sky, painting the clouds in hues of orange and violent purple. And for a single, unguarded moment, his mask dropped. Without warning, his powerful shoulders slumped. He leaned his hands against the thick wooden railing, his head bowed. The wind shifted, carrying no scent but the coming chill of evening. Yet I saw it. I felt it, clear as day. It wasn't the alpha on that balcony. It was just a man. A man drowning in a sea of grief so profound, it bent the very air around him. What followed was a stillness that felt more shocking than his earlier violence. What scared me more? His fury, or this sudden breathtaking vulnerability? Deep down, I knew the truth. Hating him was simple. It was a shield. But understanding him? That felt dangerous. That felt like leaning over a cliff's edge just to see what was at the bottom. As if he sensed my gaze, his entire body went rigid. He straightened up, his back becoming a solid wall of muscle once more. The mask of cold fury slammed back into place, more terrifying than before, because now I had seen what it was hiding. The moment was gone, just like that. My thoughts spun as I scrambled away, the herbs in my basket forgotten. The mating moon was tonight, a night of celebration, of finding one's other half. For me, it was just another trial to be endured. But now it felt different. Because of that glimpse of the man behind the monster, The night ahead felt charged with a new, terrifying kind of energy. And just like that, everything changed. That night, the festival was a swirl of firelight and sound. Drums beat a wild, hypnotic rhythm that vibrated through the soles of my feet. Wolves laughed, their faces glowing with hope and ale. They danced, their bodies moving with a freedom I could only dream of. I tried to stay on the fringes, a ghost in the flickering shadows. My goal, as always, was to simply get through it. No matter how hard I tried to be small, the mating moon always felt like a spotlight seeking me out, because my scent, my curse, was an insult to this sacred night. But then, a surge of dancers, caught up in the music, stumbled my way. Jostled, pushed forward, out of my shadowed corner, into the light, closer. Closer to the raised dais where the alpha sat. Panic, cold and sharp, clawed at my throat. My pulse raced with every unwilling step. I could feel his presence like a physical weight, a pressure building in the air. And I felt it. His gaze. Heavy. Burning. It landed on me before I even dared to look up. As the silence stretched between one heartbeat and the next, I finally lifted my head. The moment their eyes locked, the world stopped. For an agonizing second, his expression was neutral, surveying his pack. But then his eyes focused on me, on my face, and his features twisted. It wasn't anger. It was something far, far worse. It was pure, undiluted revulsion, as if the very sight of me, the very scent of my existence, was a foul poison. My breath caught. A low sound rumbled in his chest. A growl. So quiet. Yet in the stillness of the night, it was a roar that ripped through my very soul. He was looking at me like I was a disease. The space between us burned with his hatred. The wolves closest to me felt the shift. They felt his disgust, and they shrank away, their earlier revelry forgotten. One by one, they moved, leaving me standing alone in a sudden, stark circle of shame and empty space. My chest ached with a humiliation so profound, it stole the air from my lungs. My world tilted on its axis, spinning into a familiar blackness. Without warning, a horn blared from the edge of the forest. A different horn, not ours. It was a sharp, aggressive cry. A challenge. Shouts erupted. The festive music screeched to a halt. Panic bloomed, wild and fast. Warriors shot to their feet, their own growls now rising to meet the threat. An attack! On the mating moon! In the chaos, my personal humiliation was forgotten, swallowed by a much larger fear. But as wolves scrambled and the forest spat out shadowy figures, I knew one thing with chilling certainty. The alpha's hatred might not be the most dangerous thing in the woods tonight, but it was still the one aimed directly at my heart. Warriors shifted, human forms exploding into massive wolves, black, gray, brown. The sounds of celebration were swallowed, replaced by snarls and the sickening crunch of bone. My own humiliation? A forgotten cinder, buried under an avalanche of pure terror. My only thought was to run, to become the ghost I was so good at being. But then, the fighting seemed to part, like the sea clearing a path for some terrible god. Through the maelstrom of fur and fury strode a wolf I'd never seen, huge, leaner than our warriors. Fur the color of a stormy sky, eyes like chips of ice. He shifted mid-stride, landing on 2 feet with a predatory grace that sent a fresh wave of fear through me. This was their leader, Valerius, the rival alpha. Still, he wasn't looking at our warriors. He wasn't looking at Zane. His icy gaze swept the chaos and landed on me. As if pulled by a string, he moved in my direction. He ignored the bloody battles raging around him. His focus was a spear, aimed right at my heart. My body moved on instinct, trying to scramble backward, to melt into the panicked crowd. But my feet felt like they were stuck in mud. It was happening all over again, singled out, exposed. Before I could move, he was there. His scent was sharp, like cold steel in winter wind. It was nothing like the earthy smell of our pack. He was other. So, it's true, he murmured, his voice a low, dangerous rumble. He wasn't talking to anyone else, just me. Without warning, his hand shot out and gripped my arm. His touch was cold, his fingers like iron bands. I flinched, a small cry escaping my lips. But he wasn't trying to hurt me. Truth be told, he was trying to pull me with him. The lie dies tonight, he snarled, his eyes burning with a strange, righteous fire. You're coming with me. What lie? Why me? My thoughts spun in a dizzying vortex of confusion and terror. What scared me more, the fighting or the terrifying purpose in this stranger's eyes? Before I could find my voice to scream, a new presence slammed into us, a wall of heat and raw, untamed power. A growl rose in my throat, one that wasn't entirely my own. It was a blur of black leather and pure, concentrated rage. Alpha Zane. He moved faster than I thought possible, a living shadow detaching from the Alpha's dais. He slammed into Valerius, a full-body shove that sent the other Alpha staggering back a step. The air crackled. The space between them burned with a power that made the hair on my skin stand on end. She goes nowhere, Zane bit out. Each word a stone hurled into the night. His golden eyes were blazing, no longer empty, but filled with a lethal fire I had never seen before. Valerius just laughed, a cold, humorless sound. Still playing the dutiful Alpha, Zane? Protecting the pack's secrets? He shot a look at me, a look that held no malice, only a strange kind of pity. She deserves to know what she is, why your family let hers take the fall. My heart skipped. A beat later, my blood ran cold. What did he mean? Zane's only answer was a snarl, a true one this time. The sound was ripped from deep in his chest, a promise of death. He wasn't just fighting an invader anymore. On the other hand, this was something else entirely. This was personal. This was possessive. He was fighting over me. Because of that, the battle around us seemed to fade into a dull roar. The world narrowed to the three of us, trapped in a triangle of hate and secrets. I should have run. My instinct screamed at me to flee while they were distracted, but I was frozen, mesmerized by the terrifying display. Valerius lunged. Zane met him. A whirlwind of motion, a dance of deadly force. Without thinking, I took a step back and then another, but then Valerius broke away, his eyes locking back on me. He was going to try again. My breath caught. But before he could take a step, something impossible happened. Zane moved between us. He whipped around, his back to Valerius, and grabbed my other arm. And then he pulled me. Hard. He yanked me behind the solid wall of his body, shielding me completely. The shock of it was like lightning through my veins. His heat soaked into my back. His scent, pine, winter frost, and a rage so potent it was almost a taste, filled my lungs. My wolf, so long dormant and shamed within me, stirred. This wasn't a feeling of safety. It was the feeling of being claimed by a storm, of being held in the heart of a hurricane. He was protecting me. The man who hated me more than anyone on this earth was protecting me. And that made no sense at all. While the forest held its breath, the standoff stretched into an eternity. Two alphas, their chests heaving, their power rolling off them in suffocating waves. And me, the impossible prize, hidden behind one of them. You can't hide the truth forever, Zane, Valerius called out, his voice sharp with frustration. Her scent doesn't lie. She is the key. The key to what? The question screamed in my mind, but my voice was trapped in my throat. Zane ignored him. His grip on my arm was bruising, his knuckles white. I could feel the tremors running through his body. Tremors of pure, unrestrained fury. I thought he was going to launch himself back into the fight. Instead, he did something worse. something that shattered my world more completely than any attack ever could. He took a half step to the side, keeping me tucked behind him, but revealing himself to the stunned audience of both packs. His head was high. His golden eyes blazed with a terrifying light, and when he spoke, his voice was no longer a growl. It was a roar, a sound of absolute, unquestionable authority that echoed off every tree and silenced every breath. "She is mine!" The two words slammed into me like a physical blow. Mine. Mine. The world tilted, the firelight blurring into streaks of orange and red. The sound of the drums, the snarls, the wind, it all faded into a dull buzz. All I could hear was that single, possessive, impossible word. As if fate demanded it, he sealed the declaration. He turned on me, his face a mask of cold fury and something else. Something that looked like self-loathing. His eyes locked with mine, and I saw the war raging within him. Before I could process it, before I could even breathe, he leaned in. The air thickened. His scent was overwhelming, a dizzying storm of pine and power. His free hand came up, his fingers brushing the sensitive skin just below my ear. I flinched, my whole body going rigid. I felt it, clear as day. A jolt of energy, a searing heat that was both his and not, a claim, a brand. And I felt him, the mighty Alpha Zane, tremble in revulsion as he did it. The mark tingled, a burning permanent declaration on my skin. He was my Alpha, he was my claimant, and he despised the very air I breathed. As the truth unraveled, the rival pack began to back away. Valerius gave me one last, lingering look filled with a frustration so deep it was almost sorrow. Then, he turned and melted back into the shadows with his warriors. The immediate danger was over. But as Zane released my arm, snatching his hand back as if my skin had burned him, I knew my life was over too. I was left standing in the sudden, ringing silence. A pariah who now belonged to the one man who wished I didn't exist. And just like that, everything changed. The ringing in my ears faded, replaced by the hushed, frantic whispers of the pack and the stares. So many stares. I was a bug under glass, a strange creature to be examined and feared. Alpha Zane had snatched his hand back from my neck as if my skin were acid, his face a mask of disgust. He turned away from me then, addressing the pack with cold, clipped commands. "Clean this up. Double the patrols. I want sentries on every ridge by sunrise." His voice was pure ice, cutting through the lingering fear and leaving behind a chilling obedience. He never looked at me once. Yet, his final command was all about me. He gestured to two of his elite guards, hulking wolves who looked like they were carved from the mountainside itself. "Take her to my lodge," he ordered, his voice flat and devoid of any emotion. "She is not to leave." Just like that, my fate was sealed. Not with a discussion, not with a question, but with a command. As a result, my legs, which had felt rooted to the ground, were suddenly forced into motion by the guards who flanked me. They didn't touch me, but their presence was a cage all the same. We walked through the heart of the pack, and no matter how hard I tried, not a single wolf would meet my eyes. I was no longer just Anya, the outcast. I was Anya, the Alpha's cursed property. Which meant I was more alone than ever before. The Alpha's lodge was set apart from the rest of the pack, a huge structure of dark wood and river stone that loomed against the starry sky like a predator at rest. Inside, it was just as I'd imagined, cavernous, cold. The air smelled overwhelmingly of him, that sharp scent of pine, winter frost, and raw, uncompromising power. A fire roared in a massive stone hearth, but it offered no warmth. This wasn't a home. It was a fortress. It was his cage. And now, it was mine too. What followed was the longest silence of my life as the guards left, closing the heavy door behind them with a thud that echoed in my soul. I stood in the middle of the great hall, feeling small and fragile. Moments later, Zane entered behind me. The air thickened, becoming heavy, hard to breathe. I could feel the heat rolling off him, the sheer force of his presence. Still, he didn't speak to me. He didn't even look at me. Instead, he strode past me, his boots silent on the stone floor, and went straight to the nearest massive window. With a grunt of effort, he shoved it open. A blast of freezing night air rushed into the room, a physical manifestation of his disgust. The message was clear. He couldn't even stand the way I made his own space smell. The next few days passed in a blurry haze of silent misery. I was a ghost in his house, confined to a guest room that was luxurious but empty, just like the rest of this place. Zane was a phantom, a presence I felt more than saw. On the rare occasions we were in the same room, he ignored me so completely it was like a physical weight. Truth be told, his silence was almost worse than his anger. Because of that, the tingling mark on my neck was a constant, burning reminder of the claim he hated but refused to break. Why? Why go through all this if he despised me so much? To make things worse, one afternoon, I was huddled under a fur blanket, trying to lose myself in an old book of herb lore from the lodge's library. It was a story my grandmother used to tell me about how a true mating mark was supposed to feel, like warmth, like coming home, like a song only two souls could hear. My mark just felt like a scar. As I was tracing the faded drawing of a wolfsbane flower, a sudden sharp wave of emotion crashed over me. It was breathtaking. And it wasn't mine. It was grief. A profound, soul-deep grief so powerful it made me gasp, the book tumbling from my lap. It was the echo of the broken man I'd seen on the balcony. And then, it was gone. Just a phantom pain, leaving me shaken, my heart pounding a frantic rhythm against my ribs. What was that? Before I could move, a soft knock came at the door. I flinched, expecting Zane's cold fury. But instead, the beta, Cain, entered. His smile was a gentle, warming light in the cold gloom of the lodge. He was handsome, with kind eyes the color of warm honey and an easy way about him that was the exact opposite of his alpha. "I thought you might be hungry," he said, his voice soft as he set a tray of bread and steaming stew on the table. In fact, he was the first person to speak to me with anything other than a command in days. "Thank you," I whispered, my voice hoarse. "Of course," he said, pulling up a chair. He didn't seem to be in a hurry to leave. "It's not easy, what you're going through. What he's putting you through." He sighed, running a hand through his sandy hair. "The Alpha, he's under a lot of pressure, especially with Valerius and the Shadow Fangs making a move." He leaned in a little, his voice dropping. "It's a real shame. What happened to Valerius's pack after the last Alpha summit? A lot of old families were displaced, you know. He has his reasons for being angry, even if he goes about it the wrong way." Cain stayed and talked for a long time, his conversation a lifeline in my silent prison. He told me stories of the pack, asked me about my herbs. It was so easy to trust him. Maybe, I thought, just maybe. I had found an ally. He was giving me a piece of the puzzle, a breadcrumb of a subplot I didn't understand yet, and it felt like a gift. In the quiet that followed Cain's visit, a fragile seed of courage took root in my chest. Maybe not everyone here was a monster. Maybe I could survive this. The next morning, driven by a simple need to feel like a person, I crept out of my room to get a glass of water from the main hall. The lodge was quiet. Sunlight streamed through the tall windows, making dust motes dance in the air. For a moment, it almost felt peaceful. But then, a voice, dripping with contempt, shattered the stillness. "Look what the Alpha dragged in." I froze. A younger warrior, one of Zane's favorites named Riker, leaned against the archway to the kitchen. He was brawny, with a cruel sneer that I knew well. He and his friends had made my childhood a living hell. "The curse," he added, pushing off the wall and taking a step toward me. "I can't believe he lets you walk around his house. Your stench is probably seeping into the floorboards. My fragile hope withered. I just want some water, I said, my voice barely a whisper. The kitchens are for pack members, he sneered, stepping directly in my path. His scent was aggressive, full of arrogant challenge. Not for whatever you are. He got closer, close enough that I could see the malice glinting in his eyes. My wolf stirred, a low growl of pure instinct rising in my throat before I could stop it. I was so tired of being small, so tired of being afraid. Before either of us could speak, a blur of motion exploded from Zane's study. Without warning, Zane slammed Riker against the wall so hard, a gasp of air punched out of the warrior's lungs. Zane's forearm was pressed against Riker's throat, his body a tense line of pure lethal power. The air thickened, and a low, terrifying growl echoed in the stone hall. It was the sound of a predator. Absolute. Unforgiving. She is my property, Zane seethed, his voice a dangerously quiet promise of violence. Under the weight of his stare, Riker's arrogance melted into pure terror. Zane leaned in closer, his lips brushing the warrior's ear. And no one touches my property. He held him there for a long, suffocating moment before releasing him. Riker scrambled away, choking and terrified, without a single look back. The tension broke. But the silence that followed was even heavier. As the silence roared, Zane's furious golden eyes landed on me. My heart hammered against my ribs. There was no warmth in his gaze, no kindness, only the cold, possessive rage of a king protecting a possession he despised. He wasn't protecting me, he was protecting his claim. My bones remembered him, not as a savior, but as a jailer. And I didn't know which one was worse.
Riker was gone, scurrying away like a kicked dog. And Zane, he just stood there, his chest heaving, his furious gaze locked on me. After that, he turned his back, a gesture of pure dismissal, and stalked into his study. The heavy oak door slammed shut, a sound as final as a coffin lid closing. The conversation, if you could even call it that, was over. But then, something inside me shifted. A strange cold fire bloomed beneath my skin, pushing back against the fear and humiliation. He had protected me, yes. Yet he had done it with the same possessive rage a man might show for a piece of furniture. His claim, his protection, his hatred. They were all just different bars on the same cage. Deep down, I knew the truth. I was done being a ghost. I was done being a victim. Because of that, a new goal took root in my soul, sharp and clear. I would find answers. That's why, two nights later, I waited until the lodge was deep in slumber. The fire in the great hall had burned down to glowing embers, casting long, dancing shadows that writhed like living things. My heart hammered against my ribs, a frantic rhythm in the oppressive silence. Spurred by Kane's words about displaced families, I needed to find the pack's records. I needed to see my family's name in writing, to see the crime they said we committed. My body moved on instinct, my bare feet silent on the cold stone. I found it tucked away in a dusty alcove behind the library, a heavy, iron-banded door. The archives, a place for alphas and betas only, a place I was never meant to see. No matter how hard I tried, the heavy ornate handle wouldn't turn. Locked. Of course it was locked. My shoulders slumped in defeat. Without warning, a voice cut through the darkness from behind me. Low. Dangerous. That room is forbidden. My heart skipped. I whipped around, my breath catching in my throat. Zane stood there, a silhouette against the dying firelight. He wasn't yelling. He was worse. He was perfectly, terrifyingly calm. What were you doing, Anya? I couldn't sleep, I stammered, my voice trembling. He took a step closer. His scent, pine and winter frost, wrapped around me like a shroud. Under the weight of his stare, I felt like a mouse cornered by a wolf. You will stay in your rooms, he said, his voice dropping even lower. You will not wander. You will not explore. Is that understood? The command was absolute. But as he turned to leave, I saw it. Just a flicker, there and gone in the span of a breath. It wasn't just anger in his eyes, it was fear. He wasn't just trying to control me. He was scared of what I might find. A guard was posted outside my door, day and night. The windows were latched from the outside. I was completely and utterly trapped, left with nothing but my spinning thoughts and the chilling memory of the fear in the Alpha's eyes. My only contact with the outside world was Kane. He brought my meals, his face a mask of sympathy. "I'm sorry about this," he'd murmur. "He's just protective." But his words felt hollow now. His kindness, a little too smooth. To make things worse, one evening, Kane brought my dinner tray as usual. He set it down, gave me a sad, apologetic smile, and left. But this time was different. By the time I picked up the linen napkin to place it on my lap, I felt something odd. A thickness, a strange fold. My fingers fumbled with the cloth, my heart beginning to pound a frantic, hopeful rhythm. Tucked inside was a small, tightly folded piece of parchment. It wasn't Kane's handwriting. It was sharp, angular, urgent. My hands shook as I unfolded it, my eyes darting toward the door, listening for any sound of footsteps. The note was short, but the words were an earthquake. "Your family was framed." My breath caught. The Luna wasn't cursed. She was poisoned with silverwood extract. The proof is in the pack's history, in the healer's logs from that season. He is hiding it. Poisoned. My family. Framed. The world tilted, the room seeming to spin around me. For 12 years I had carried the weight of their crime. For 12 years I had been the living embodiment of a curse that never even existed. It was all a lie. A lie that had cost my family everything. A lie that had fueled Zane's hatred. As if that wasn't enough, there was one final chilling sentence at the bottom of the note. A sentence that made the floor drop out from beneath me. "Don't trust the beta." The tray of food sat untouched. Kane. My only ally. My only source of kindness in this stone prison. The one who had hinted about Valerius. The one who had made me feel seen. Was he part of the lie too? Or was this a trick? A test from the rival Alpha, Valerius, who must have sent this note? I was adrift in a sea of questions. And the one person I thought was a lifeline might actually be the one holding my head underwater. And just like that, everything changed. I was truly, completely alone.
The fragile girl who hid in the shadows was gone, burned away by a white-hot, righteous fury. Fear was a luxury I could no longer afford. The truth unraveled before me, a tapestry of lies and betrayal, and my one goal was to pull on the thread until the whole thing came undone. I didn't knock. I didn't wait. I stormed out of my room, past my startled guard, and marched straight into the great hall. I found him there, staring into the roaring fire, a glass of amber liquid swirling in his hand. He looked up as I approached, his golden eyes narrowing with annoyance. "I told you to stay in your—" "I was thinking about your mother," I said. My voice trembled, but it was clear. The air thickened, the space between us crackling with a new kind of tension. He went completely still. The annoyance vanished, replaced by that familiar, cold mask. "Don't!" The word was a single sharp icicle. But I wouldn't be stopped. Not now. I took another step forward. "The illness," I pressed on, my mind racing, pulling up facts from my grandmother's lore, stories she'd told me about poisons. The wasting sickness. Did she have tremors? In her hands? Between us, something cracked. His grip on the glass tightened. "What are you talking about?" "Was there a bitterness to her food that no amount of honey could hide?" I asked, my voice getting stronger. "Did her skin, did it have a grayish tint toward the end, beneath the moonlight?" I was listing the classic, undeniable symptoms of silverwood poisoning, a poison known to mimic the look of a wasting disease. With every question, the glass in his hand trembled more violently. At the mention of her skin, a sound, half gasp, half choke, escaped his lips. And then, the glass shattered. It slipped from his nerveless fingers and crashed to the stone floor, the sound echoing in the cavernous hall. He whipped around to face me. His face was pale, his golden eyes wide with a storm of emotions I couldn't name. Fury, shock, and raw, terrified memory. "What do you know?" he snarled, his voice a ragged edge of panic. In that moment, the dynamic between us shifted forever. I was no longer just his despised property, a curse he was forced to bear. I was a threat. I was the keeper of a truth that could shatter the very foundation his life and his hatred had been built on. And he knew it. His question, "What do you know?" hung between us. A blade poised over my head. The old me, the girl who lived in the shadows, would have flinched. She would have stammered, apologized, and retreated into her shell of fear. But then, as my wolf stirred within me, that girl was gone. Burned away by the fire of a truth that had been buried for 12 long years. Instead, I held his gaze. My heart was a frantic drum, but my voice, when it came, was steady. "I know what my grandmother taught me," I began, the words tasting strange and powerful on my tongue. "I know about herbs. I know about tinctures. And I know the difference between a wasting sickness and a slow, deliberate poison." Between us, something cracked, the sound of his entire world fracturing. He didn't move. He just stared, his golden eyes wide, his mind clearly racing, trying to connect the impossible dots I was laying out for him. I saw denial. I saw fury. But beneath it all, I saw the terrified 13-year-old boy who had lost his mother. Because of that, I knew I had him. "That's a lie," he whispered, the words lacking any real conviction. "It was a curse. Her scent." "My scent?" I interrupted, taking a dangerous step closer. The air thickened with his disbelief and my newfound courage. "Or the scent of Silverwood Alpha, a poison so potent it can mimic any disease. A poison that leaves a gray tint on the skin and a bitter taste in the mouth?" Just like that. The silence stretched, pulled taut between us. He started circling me then, not like an alpha assessing a subordinate, but like a wolf inspecting a strange, dangerous creature that had wandered into its den. He was volatile, unpredictable. And I had just lit a match in a room filled with blasting powder. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't read the expression on his face. Without warning, he lunged, not to attack, but to capture. His hands closed around my upper arms, his grip not filled with the revulsion of before, but with a desperate, frantic energy. He was close enough now that I could see the panic swirling in the gold of his eyes. "Who told you this?" he demanded, his voice a ragged, broken thing. "Was it Valerius? Did he send you here to—" Before either of us could speak, a calm, smooth voice interrupted the storm. "Is everything all right, Alpha?" We both whipped our heads toward the door. Kane stood there, a picture of polite concern, a tray with two glasses in his hands. His timing was perfect, a little too perfect. Zane released me instantly, his mask of cold authority slamming back into place so fast it gave me whiplash. He took a step back, putting a wall of air between us once more. "Everything is fine, Kane," he bit out, his voice strained. "Anya was just confused." Kane's kind, honey-colored eyes drifted from Zane's tense shoulders to my face, and his smile was full of a gentle pity that made my skin crawl. "Of course, Alpha. The poor girl has been through so much." The subtext was clear. "She's hysterical. Don't listen to her. He was painting me as unstable, unreliable. And what's worse, he was doing it with a face full of concern." In that moment, Zane looked from Kane's sympathetic expression to my defiant one, and I could see the war raging behind his eyes. He didn't know who to believe. The man he'd trusted his entire life? Or the girl whose very existence was a source of pain and now, conspiracy? As a result, he made a decision. A choice that was neither trust nor condemnation. It was pure control. "From now on," Zane declared, his voice leaving no room for argument. "She will not leave my sight." He paused, his gaze sweeping over both of us. "And her meals? I will prepare them." My world tilted. This was a success, wasn't it? He was acknowledging the threat of poison, at least enough to take precautions. Yet, it was also a spectacular failure. My gilded cage had just shrunk, its walls now made of his constant, suffocating presence. Kane's smile didn't falter, but I saw it. Just for a second, a flicker of something icy and calculating in the depths of his eyes before it was gone. He was losing his grip on the situation, and he didn't like it. Later that day, the reality of my new prison set in. Zane brought me a plate of food himself, simple roasted chicken and bread. He didn't speak. He just set the plate down on the table in my room and then stood by the door, his arms crossed, watching me. The silence was a roaring thing, filled with unspoken questions and accusations. With every heartbeat, the tension grew. I forced myself to eat, each bite tasting like ash in my mouth under his intense, unreadable stare. This wasn't an act of care. It wasn't even an act of protection. Deep down, I knew the truth. This was an interrogation. This was observation. This was a jailer watching his prisoner, and he would not look away until he had the answers he wanted. In the stillness that followed, a new routine began, a suffocating dance of proximity and silence. He was my shadow, always there, watching me from across the room as I read, following me into the great hall, sleeping in the room directly across from mine with his door left ajar. The space between us burned with a constant humming tension. Truth be told, it was a more effective prison than any locked door because it gave me no room to breathe, no room to think. Then, one morning, I woke up and the world felt wrong. A thick cottony fog filled my head. My limbs felt heavy, unresponsive. As I tried to sit up, the room swam lazily around me. My thoughts were slow, syrupy. As my wolf stirred, a faint alarm bell went off deep inside. I knew this feeling from my grandmother's lore. It was a mild sedative. Not enough to knock me out, but enough to make me seem confused, unwell. Before I could fully process it, the door opened. Zane entered, followed closely by Kane. Kane's face was a mask of deep, sorrowful concern. "I was worried when she didn't come down," he said to Zane. "I thought I should check." "Anya?" Zane's voice was sharp, and for the first time, it held a note of something other than anger. Maybe it was concern? I tried to answer, to tell him something was wrong, but my tongue felt thick and clumsy. "I'm tired," was all I could manage to slur. As if fate demanded it, Kane moved to my bedside, his expression growing more grave. "Alpha, look at her," he said, his voice laced with false tragedy. He gently brushed a hand against my forehead. "She's clammy. Her eyes are unfocused. She's unwell." He paused, letting the words hang in the air before delivering the killing blow. Just like your mother was. Perhaps the curse isn't a poison at all. Perhaps it's contagious." He was good. He was brilliant. He was using my own tactic against me, twisting the truth into a new, more terrifying lie. He was painting me as the plague bringer. While Zane was staring at me, his face a storm of confusion and dawning horror, Kane did something else. With a single glance, as if he had just noticed it, he reached down beside my pillow. "What's this?" he asked, his voice full of manufactured shock. He pulled out a small leather pouch, a pouch I had never seen before in my life. He opened the drawstring and tipped the contents into his palm, shavings of a pale, silvery wood. Silverwood. My blood ran cold. It was a plant. It was a frame-up so blatant, so perfect, it stole my breath. Kane looked from the poison in his hand to Zane, his face a mask of horrified accusation. I frantically turned my gaze to Zane. His face had gone ashen. He wasn't looking at Kane. He wasn't looking at the poison. He was staring at me. And his eyes, they were filled with a fresh wave of betrayal and a terrible, soul-shattering, familiar hatred. The fragile ground I had fought so hard to gain had just crumbled into dust beneath my feet. The trust I thought I saw, the confusion, the flicker of a man behind the monster, it was all gone, burned away. In its place was a wasteland of cold, hard certainty. And what he was certain of was my guilt. The fragile ground I had fought so hard to gain had just crumbled into dust beneath my feet. His face was a mask of shattered trust, of renewed, absolute hatred. My lips parted. I tried to form the words. It's a lie. It's a trap. Kane. But the sedative Kane had given me was a thick, syrupy poison in my veins. It made my tongue heavy, my thought slow. All that came out was a pathetic, broken sound, a whimper. Zane flinched as if I had struck him. That sound, it seemed to be the final nail in my coffin. After that, his expression went dead. Utterly and completely empty. That was the most terrifying thing of all, because his fury, at least, was an emotion. This was nothing. This was the void. He didn't even look at me as he spoke to the guards who had rushed in, drawn by the commotion. "Take her to the cells," he commanded. His voice was flat as a tombstone. He couldn't even look at me. He looked at the far wall, at anything but the scene of his ultimate betrayal. "No," I tried to say, but my body wouldn't obey. My limbs felt like lead. As the guards grabbed my arms, their grips were no longer careful. They were rough. I was no longer the Alpha's controversial property to be handled with care. I was a traitor, a poisoner, which meant I was already dead. They dragged me from the room, my bare feet stumbling on the cold stone. My last glimpse was of Zane, standing frozen amidst the ruin of his office, and of Kane, stepping up behind him, placing a gentle, comforting hand on his Alpha's shoulder, a loyal shepherd, a supportive friend, a triumphant serpent consoling the king he had just broken. What followed was a descent into cold and darkness. They threw me into a cell deep beneath the lodge. The heavy iron door slammed shut, the sound of the thick bolt sliding home echoing my doom. The walls were carved from magic dampening stone that seemed to suck the very life from the air. I felt my wolf, my only companion in this lonely world, retreat deep inside me, whimpering and weak. And then I was left alone in the crushing, absolute dark. By the time the fog in my head finally began to clear, I didn't know if hours or a day had passed. Time didn't exist down here. There was only the cold stone beneath me, the rhythmic drip, drip, drip of water somewhere in the darkness, and the bone-deep chill of utter despair. The sedative was gone, but it had left behind a weakness that felt permanent, a hollowness in my soul. I had failed. My family's name would be stained forever. And Zane, he would never know the truth. Then I heard footsteps, not the heavy, authoritative tread of the Alpha. These were lighter, quieter. The bolt slid back with a grating shriek, and the door creaked open, spilling a sliver of torchlight into my prison. Kane stood there, but this was not the Kane I knew. The mask of kindness was gone. His face, illuminated by the flickering flame, was cold, smug, utterly victorious. "Comfortable?" he asked, his voice dripping with a sarcasm sharper than any blade. "You," I whispered, my voice a dry rasp. "Me," he agreed, stepping inside and letting the door swing shut behind him. He leaned against the wall, all casual arrogance. "You really should have just stayed in the shadows, Anya. You were so close to being irrelevant, but you had to push. You had to go digging." He shook his head in mock pity. "Did you really think he would believe you? The word of a tainted outcast over his most loyal beta?" He laughed then, a low, cruel sound that bounced off the stone walls. "No, he never would have believed you. because believing you meant admitting that his entire life, his entire reign, was built on a lie. A mistake I helped him make all those years ago. The truth unraveled in his cold, honey-colored eyes. His mother? I choked out. A lovely woman, Cain said with a shrug. But she chose a fool, an alpha who was all heart and no spine. I simply corrected her mistake, and now you've helped me correct his. He was a monster, a true monster, hiding behind a kind face. What now? I asked, my voice trembling. You become alpha? Eventually, he said. Zane is broken now. He'll be weak, unfocused. The pack needs a strong leader. And once you are dealt with for your terrible crime, he sneered, I will be there to pick up the pieces. He pushed off the wall and walked to the door, his victory complete. Before he left, he paused and looked back at me, a final, chilling threat in his eyes. Don't worry. He'll be joining his mother soon enough. In the stillness that followed his departure, a new kind of darkness fell. It was heavier than the stone walls, colder than the damp floor. It was the crushing weight of absolute hopelessness. Cain's words echoed in the cell, a death sentence for two. It was over. I had failed. My family would never be cleared. Zane would die, never knowing the truth. Cain would win. He would take over the pack, his evil hidden forever. And I would die here, in the dark, remembered only as a poisoner, a curse. My body was weak, my spirit shattered. I curled into a ball on the floor, the cold seeping into my bones. What was the point of fighting? What was the point of anything? The silence roared, filled with the ghosts of my failures. My thoughts spun, a vortex pulling me down, 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 into nothingness. This was it. The end. I closed my eyes, ready for the darkness to take me. But then, something sparked. A memory. Faint. Distant. A page from my grandmother's journal. One I had skimmed over, thinking it was just a myth. It wasn't the page about the poison. It was the page about the antidote. My bloodline. The scent of salvation. The book hadn't just described my family's unique ability to create a living cure. It had described a forbidden ritual, a last resort, a dangerous, desperate act of magic. It spoke of a fusion, a transformation, a story of a wolf who, when faced with an incurable plague, could do more than just heal another. She could absorb the Alpha's essence, merge with his power, and become something new, something the world had never seen. A being strong enough to fight back a plague on her own? An impossible idea flickered to life in the ruins of my despair. An insane, suicidal plan. Deep down, I knew the truth. It would probably kill me. The ritual was described as agonizing, a process that could tear a wolf's soul apart. But it was better than dying here, in the dark, as a lie. As my wolf stirred, pressing forward not with strength, but with a final desperate flicker of hope. Something inside me shifted, and I let it happen. My despair didn't vanish, but it now had a purpose. It had a direction. The first step was getting out of this cell. The second was getting to Zane.
In the echo of his voice, the one that promised Zane's death, my own despair burned away. It left something hard and sharp in its place. Hope. An insane, suicidal little flicker of it. I would not die in this cell. I would not let my family's name be a curse for all eternity. And I would not let Cain win. As my wolf pressed forward, a new strength, born not of muscle, but of pure, stubborn will, flowed into my limbs. So, I pushed myself up from the cold stone floor. My goal was simple. Get out. I ran my hands along the damp, moss-slick walls of the cell. The stone was ancient, and I could feel how it seemed to drink the energy from the air, leaving my wolf feeling weak, distant. But then, my fingers brushed against a section of wall where the mortar felt different, grittier, less solid. After that, a memory sparked, a casual comment Cain had made. The old foundation, the part near the aqueduct system his father built, it's full of holes. This cell, it was part of the old foundation. Because of that, I had a chance. I found a loose, sharp-edged stone on the floor and began to dig at the crumbling mortar. It was slow, agonizing. My fingers were raw and bleeding by the time I had managed to loosen a single heavy block. Hope began to fade, replaced by the bitter taste of failure. No matter how hard I tried, it wasn't enough. But then, something impossible happened. A stone on the other side of the wall shifted, it scraped backward, and then a hand, strong and unfamiliar, reached through the small opening. My breath caught. I scrambled back, my heart hammering against my ribs. "Quiet," a voice whispered from the darkness, a voice I recognized with a jolt of terror and confusion. Valerius, the rival Alpha. I figured Cain would put you where no one could hear you scream. Moments later, he had worked several more stones loose, creating an opening just big enough for me to crawl through. He pulled me into a narrow, hidden tunnel, the air thick with the smell of damp earth and secrets. He looked at me, his icy eyes holding no malice, only a grim urgency. "Cain is making his move on the Alpha tonight," he said, his voice low. "He's been slowly poisoning him for days, making him weak and paranoid. Tonight, he finishes it." Which meant we didn't have much time.
While the forest held its breath above us, we stood in the cramped, dark service tunnel beneath the lodge. The only light was a sliver of moonlight from a grate high above, painting stripes across Valerius's hard face. "My pack is made of the family Zane exiled under Cain's influence," he explained, his voice tight with an old anger. "My mate's family was one of them. She died in the wilderness because we didn't have a proper healer, because the lie about your family made everyone terrified of herbalists." His story hit me like a physical blow, another layer to the tragedy Cain had created. His fight wasn't just for power. It was for justice, for vengeance. "Cain told me everything," I whispered. "He plans to kill Zane and take over." "I know," Valerius gritted out. "And I plan to kill Cain. But I can't get to him while Zane is surrounded by his Alpha Guard. Cain has them convinced you are the threat." In that moment, I knew I had to tell him. "There's a way," I said, my voice trembling. "A myth, in my grandmother's journal, a ritual. It could save him. It could make me strong enough to fight." Valerius stared at me, his expression incredulous. "That's a folktale, Anya. A story for pups. The fusion ritual, it will kill you. Dying in that cell as a lie will kill me faster," I shot back, a fire I didn't know I possessed flaring in my chest. "I am the only one who can save him. And more importantly, he is the only one who can stand before the entire pack and clear my family's name. I need him alive." As the silence stretched, he studied me, his icy eyes searching my face. I could see the conflict there. He wanted Cain dead. He wanted Zane to pay for his past sins. But he also wanted justice. And I was offering the only path to it. Eventually, he gave a sharp, decisive nod. "Fine," he said. "We do it your way." He laid out a desperate, brutal plan. His pack, hidden in the woods, would launch a full-scale diversionary attack on the main gates. Not only that, they would cause enough chaos to draw out the pack's warriors, the Alpha Guard, and with any luck, Cain himself. He would get his shot at the Beta, and I would get my shot at the Alpha. "It will be a bloodbath," Valerius warned, his voice grim, "and it will only buy you minutes." I looked at him, my face set in a mask of hard resolve. "Minutes are all I need." From there, we moved through the tunnels, emerging from a hidden grate in the woods just behind the Alpha's lodge. The night air was cold and clean, smelling of pine and imminent violence. As if on cue, a deep, resonant horn blew from the far side of the compound, Valerius's signal, and then the world exploded. Shouts, snarls, the roar of wolves clashing in battle. The diversion had begun. It was a terrifying symphony of destruction, but it was also the sound of my chance. Go! Valerius grunted before melting into the shadows toward the main fight. Don't waste it. My body moved on instinct, my feet flying over the familiar ground. I kept to the shadows, my heart pounding a rhythm that matched the distant sounds of the fight. The main compound was chaos. I saw flashes of fur, gray, black, brown, clashing under the moonlight. The coppery tang of blood hit the air, sharp and sickening. I had to dodge a frantic patrol, diving behind a woodpile, my breath held tight in my chest. With every step he took, I imagined Cain striding toward the battle, leaving Zane vulnerable. By the time I reached the Alpha's lodge, my nerves were screaming. The massive building was eerily quiet, the main hall empty. Just as Valerius predicted, most of the guards had been drawn to the fight. I crept up the grand staircase, each step a potential betrayal, my senses on high alert. His chambers were at the end of the hall. The door was closed. While my pulse raced, I reached his door, my hand trembling as it touched the cool, dark wood. My plan, my insane, suicidal plan, was seconds away from beginning. I was about to save the man who hated me, to clear my family's name, to become something I didn't understand. As my fingers closed around the handle, a sound from within froze my blood. It was a cough, weak, pained. A wet, rattling sound that spoke of lungs filling with fluid. It was followed by a voice, Cain's, smooth, unhurried, and filled with venom. Don't fight it, Alpha. Just let the curse run its course. My heart skipped. I was almost too late. As Cain's venomous words slithered under the door, something inside me broke free. No more time for plans. No more time for fear. My body moved on instinct, my hand twisting the heavy iron handle. The door flew open with a bang that echoed like a gunshot in the silent lodge. The scene inside was a nightmare. Zane was lying on his bed, his skin pale and slick with a feverish sweat, his breathing a shallow, rattling gasp. And Cain? Cain stood over him, holding a small, dark vial, a triumphant smirk twisting his handsome face. He looked up as I burst in, his eyes widening in shock, then narrowing in pure fury. You, he spat. You should be rotting in a cell. Get away from him. A growl rose in my throat, raw and feral. Too late, little curse, he sneered, raising the vial. One more dose and the pack will have a new, stronger Alpha. But then, I didn't run at him. I didn't scream. Instead, I did the one thing he would never expect. Without thinking, I reached into the pouch at my belt where I always kept my herbs. My fingers closed around a handful of dried nettle and wolfsbane root. Not poisonous in this form, but a vicious irritant. And I threw it. The fine powder hit him square in the face. He roared in pain and fury, dropping the vial as his hands flew to his stinging, watering eyes. That was my chance. As if the world narrowed to a single point, I scrambled past him to Zane's bedside. His golden eyes were glazed, unfocused, but they found mine. A flicker of recognition, a ghost of a question. Anya, he rasped, his voice a thread of sound. I know, I whispered, my hands hovering over his chest, my heart pounding a frantic, terrifying rhythm. I know, and I'm sorry. Then I began the ritual. I placed my hands on his chest, closed my eyes, and called upon the deepest parts of my soul, the magic that lived in my blood. I pulled. I pulled at the claim mark on my neck, not rejecting it, but activating it, using it as a conduit. What followed was pure agony, an ecstasy, a storm, a fire, a maelstrom of energy. His power, vast and wild like a winter storm, flooded into me. At the same time, my own essence, the cool, cleansing power of my bloodline, rushed into him. I felt his memories, the grief of losing his mother, the poison of Cain's lies, the 12 long years of self-hatred he had aimed at me. And he felt mine. The loneliness, the shame, the terror. It was a raw, brutal, intimate fusion of two broken souls. The air thickened. A brilliant, blinding light erupted from us, throwing Kane back against the far wall. In the span of a breath, it was over. Zane's eyes flew open. They were no longer dull and glazed. They were blazing, clear, and filled with a shocking, impossible clarity. He saw me. For the first time, he truly saw me. Just as Kane, roaring in fury, lunged toward me, Zane moved. He was a blur of restored power, intercepting the traitor with a snarl that shook the room. The fight was not long. It was brutal. It was final. And just like that, the threat of Kane was ended forever. In the quiet that followed, the silence was absolute. Even the sounds of the battle outside seemed to die down, as if the entire pack, on some primal level, had felt the monumental shift in their alpha. The air in the room still hummed with power, but it was different now. It was clean. It was whole. Zane stood over Kane's still form, his chest heaving. After that, he slowly turned to face me. The fury was gone from his face. The cold mask was gone. The merciless alpha was gone. In his place was a man stripped bare, his golden eyes filled with a universe of emotions I had never seen there before. Awe, gratitude, regret so profound it was a physical wound, and love. A love so powerful and pure, it was like looking directly at the sun. As my wolf stirred, the bond between us, once a source of confusion and pain, slammed into place. It was no longer a one-sided pull or a subconscious urge. It was a living, breathing connection, a bridge of light between our souls. I felt everything. His 12 years of misplaced grief, his agonizing internal war, and now, his overwhelming, all-consuming love for me. It was a beautiful, devastating thing. Anya, he breathed, his voice raw with a reverence I never thought possible. My name hung in the air. A prayer. He took a hesitant step toward me, his hand reaching out. I'm so sorry. Anya, I didn't know. I never knew. But then, I felt my own pain. The 12 years of shame, the sting of his revulsion, the coldness of the cell, the terror of his hatred. And I held up a hand, my own newfound power, this strange and potent Omega Alpha energy, humming around me like a shield. He stopped. His face, which had been filled with a fragile, dawning hope, crumbled. You're sorry now, I said, and my voice was quiet, but it was not weak. It was unbreakable. You're sorry because the bond is clear, because the poison is gone. I took a breath, letting the terrible truth settle between us. But the man who hated me for 12 years is the same man standing before me now. The poison is gone, Zane. But the scars remain. Before the words left my lips, I knew what I had to do. I had to choose myself. I saved you, I told him, my voice steady despite the ache in my chest. I saved our alpha, but I cannot be the mate to the man who broke me. His hope died. The mighty Alpha, the merciless Zane, was brought to his knees not by a rival, not by poison, but by the truth in my words. And in that moment, for the first time in my life, I had all the power. 3 months later, the pack was different. The fear was gone, replaced by a tentative, quiet hope. What followed was a new era. I was no longer Anya the outcast, the curse. Now, I was Anya the savior, the Alpha's healer, a title that felt both strange and true. They gave me a wide, respectful berth, their eyes holding a new kind of awe. At my request, Zane had rebuilt my family's cottage on the land where it once stood, and he had cleared our name in a public, soul-bearing pack meeting where he took every ounce of the blame upon himself. He never called me to him. He never gave me an order. He never even tried to speak to me again after that first day. Yet, I saw him. From my little garden, I would see him working alongside the other wolves, rebuilding the parts of the pack his old, harsh regime had neglected. He was quieter, more thoughtful, He listened more than he spoke. The merciless tyrant was gone, and in his place was a true leader, one who led by service, not by fear. He was on a silent, relentless path of atonement. It was a start, but my heart was still a bruised, tender thing, guarded and wary. I focused on my healing, on tending to the pack, on finding my own peace in this new world. One evening, as the sky darkened and the stars began to prick the deep violet canvas, I returned to my cottage after a long day in the woods, and I saw it. On my doorstep, placed carefully on the smooth, flat stone, was a single, perfect flower, a starlight orchid. Its petals seemed to drink the twilight, glowing with a soft, ethereal light of their own. My breath caught. It was an herb of legend. It was said to only grow on the highest, most treacherous peak of the northern mountains, a place where the winter winds never ceased. It was a key ingredient for a deep healing salve, a salve I had mentioned needing for one of the elders weeks ago in a passing conversation with another healer. There was no note, no grand gesture. He wasn't asking for thanks. He wasn't asking for anything. It was just a quiet, selfless act. An apology spoken not with words, but with immense effort and a deep understanding of who I was. As I picked up the flower, its petals cool and soft against my fingers, I felt something shift inside me. The ache in my chest was still there. The scars remained. But for the first time, as I looked out at the packlands that were finally starting to feel like home, I felt the faint, fragile bloom of a different kind of hope. It wasn't forgiveness. Not yet. But it was a beginning. And for the first time, the future felt like a place I might want to walk toward.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.